Hello and welcome to another broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3. It says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. We have the word bishop, we have the word elders, you have the word pastor in the New Testament. Why the different terms? We're going to look at coming to terms with the terms. Stay tuned for our broadcast. In verse 1, we read, if you desire the office of a bishop, you desire a good work. Desire. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That is, he will put the desires that he wants in your heart. In Amos chapter 7, verse 14, Amos said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people. Another example of that is found in Jeremiah 1 and 5, where the Lord said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. It is interesting that he said to Amos, go prophesy unto my people. And then he said to Jeremiah, I ordain thee a prophet unto the nations. God will put the desire in the heart of a person who delights himself in the Lord to be a pastor, and then he will tell him exactly where he wants him to do that work. Well, we have these three different terms in the Bible. We have elder, we have bishop, we have pastor. Why do we have these different terms? In verse number 1, it says it refers to the office of a bishop. The different terms. Elder or elders is found in the Bible 64 times in the New Testament. The word bishop is found 7 times, and the word pastor is only found once. That's unusual, seeing that we use the term pastor today. Why do we use it? To understand the answer to that question, we need only to do what we need to do to understand the answer of any question, and that is to compare Scripture with Scripture. It is first mentioned, the word elders is first mentioned in Genesis 50 and verse 7, where it refers to the elders of Pharaoh's household, and it also refers to the elders of the land of Egypt. Then we have the phrase in the Old Testament, elders of Israel, 34 times. But we also find in the Old Testament elders in Midian, Moab, Gilead, different towns, different cities. When we get into the New Testament and we look at the word elders, you would wonder why the Lord would use that term for someone to lead his church when we read in Matthew 16 and 21, Jesus suffered many things at the hands of the elders. But he did use that term. Those elders that came after Jesus, they challenged his authority, they planned his crucifixion, they brought in false witnesses at that time, they gave 30 pieces of silver to Judas to betray him, they persuaded the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus, they mocked the Lord when he was on the cross, they paid the soldiers to lie about the resurrection. They persecuted the early Christians. They were involved in the stoning of Stephen. They sent Paul to Damascus to get Christians and bring them back and have them put to death. They put a curse on themselves to kill Paul the Apostle once he was saved. They were not a very good group of people. However, in 1 Peter 5:1, Peter said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. In Acts chapter 14, 23, they ordained them elders in every city. Why the different terms? Well, in Jerusalem, the population there is mainly Jewish. They were very familiar with the term elder, and keep in mind that all scriptures were inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Jews at Jerusalem would understand immediately what the responsibilities of an elder were. When we look at the situation at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we read about the bishop and the deacons. At Philippi, the term bishop or bishop is used 7 times. When writing to the church at Philippi, he begins with writing to the bishops and deacons, and the word bishop or bishop is used 7 times in that letter. Then when Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and Timothy there was the pastor, he talked about the office of a bishop in 1 Timothy 3:1 and the qualifications of a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and also in Titus chapter 1. Why did he use the term bishop? Well, because the population there was basically Greek, and they would understand immediately what a bishop's responsibilities were. When the Greeks or the Romans conquered a city or a state, the emperor would appoint a bishop to take charge. And so the position of a bishop was a position of authority. He had a responsibility, though, to a superior power, and he was to introduce new things. That is exactly what a pastor does. He has a position of authority. He has a responsibility to a superior power, which, of course, is God. And the pastor's responsibility is to introduce new things to these new converts. So a bishop, right away, a new convert knew exactly and immediately what the pastor's responsibilities were. Years ago, we had some missionaries from our church in the Yanomama village of Cua, which is deep in the heart of Venezuela in the jungle. In that jungle with these Yanomama Indians living with huts and dirt floors, they had a chief. And if you went and said, who's the chief, they would know what you were talking about. But if you went in there and said, who's the captain, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. But if you're going to go into a football game and talk to those people that are playing football, and you wanted to talk to the one who was in charge, you would say, where's the captain? Right away, they would know. And this is exactly why God is using different terms in different places. Keep in mind that the Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. In Titus, he said in Titus 1, I want you to ordain elders in every city. And then only two verses later, he said the bishop must be blameless. And so he used the term elder and he used the term bishop because there was a combination of Jews and Greeks in that area. And immediately they would understand what the responsibilities of the pastor was. Only he's referred to there as an elder or as a bishop. So they would know. In Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Paul was at Ephesus and he called the elders of the church together. There he used the term elder. In verse 20, he referred to them as tending the flock and also as overseers. In Ephesians 4:11, the Holy Spirit inspired this letter that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said that God gave pastors for the perfecting of the saints. And here he used the term pastor. Now, the word pastor is only found one time in all of the New Testament. However, the same Greek word is translated shepherds 8 times, and it means to shepherd. That's what a pastor does. Everyone would understand the responsibilities of a shepherd, whether you were talking to Greeks or whether you're talking to Jews. Everybody would understand the term shepherd, and that's why the term shepherd is being used. Not all the Greeks would be familiar with the term elder, and not all of the Jews would be familiar with the term bishop, but everybody would be familiar with the term shepherd. They knew immediately what a shepherd's responsibilities were. In the New Testament, the shepherd refers to Jesus 9 times, refers to a literal shepherd 1 time. So a pastor, he is the shepherd of the sheep. That's what he does. He shepherds the sheep. When Peter writes about this important subject in 1 Peter chapter 5, he says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, the term is synonymous, as is bishop. The terms are synonymous with pastor. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, he said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And so it's all about the shepherd, and it's all about the shepherd protecting the sheep, and it's all about the shepherd understanding that he has a responsibility to take care of the sheep. That's why in verse 8, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We need to be doing the job of a shepherd. God has given us the responsibilities for a shepherd. In John 21, we're to be feeding the Lord's lambs. Again, in John 21, twice he said, "I want you to feed my sheep." We are to water the sheep, Genesis 29 and 3. In Psalm number 23, we see that we are supposed to be leading the Lord's sheep, protecting the Lord's sheep, comforting the Lord's sheep, disciplining the Lord's sheep. The responsibilities are in the Scriptures, and they're plain. And so in conclusion, answering our question, why the different terms, the term elder, bishop, and pastor are all used for the same local New Testament church office, and that is the office of a pastor. The Holy Spirit inspired men to use different terms depending on what area they were in, and so the bishops, the word bishop is used so the Greeks would understand, the word elders is used so that the Jews would understand, and the word pastor is used so everyone would understand, because the word means shepherd. Pastors are referred to as ruling and as teaching. The Greek term bishop indicates the pastor is a man of authority who has a responsibility to a higher power. Bishops are referred to as caring for the church, teaching the Scriptures, protecting the flocks, and an officer of the local church. We have seen that the term bishop and elders are used of the same men in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, and in 2 Timothy 5, 17 and 19. The fact that Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd indicates the pastor is an under-shepherd in the local church when taken in the context of 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5. So, the ministry involves teaching believers, Ephesians chapter 4, preaching the word, 2 Timothy chapter 4, taking the oversight, 1 Peter 5, shepherding the flock, Acts chapter 20, ruling and leading well, 1 Timothy 5, 17, being an example, 1 Peter 5 and 3. If this is not a list about what pastors do, what do pastors do? In the Bible, we have 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus written specifically to tell us as pastors how things need to be done. Timothy was commanded to keep the fact of the apostasy that was creeping in before the congregation so that they could guard against false doctrine and false philosophies that were flooding into the church and always do flood into the church when apostasy prevails. We will see in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in an upcoming broadcast that as pastors we are commanded to keep the fact of apostasy before our congregation so that they can guard against false doctrine and the false philosophies that are flooding into the church in this age in which we are living. Timothy was commanded to warn about the characteristics of apostasy and the apostates who promoted it. As pastors, we need to be on guard against the influence of the promoters of error, and we need to publicly expose those who err. We have a responsibility before God to teach the church members about what is profitable and what is not profitable. Verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," now that's where we are right now, we are in the latter times, "the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, from the body of truth, from the doctrine." Some are departing from the doctrine at a breakneck speed today. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We're going to be looking at this in our upcoming broadcast. Be sure and tune in. Until then, may the Lord bless you. Tune in again tomorrow for our broadcast. We call it Plain and Simple.